I look at what we teach, and I think to myself,
this is September 8th.
We become enemy number one, you know. There's nobody that would like us, but there are people that agree, like Shannon and Sheila both. They said that we've always thought that Jesus was a man. And Brittany said that. Yes, she always thought that Jesus was a man. And the thing that scares me, and really does, is when people can be baptized in Jesus' name and start to understand that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And they can hear these scriptures and they can go to a Trinitarian church and forget all of these things. You know what I mean? And that's why the Matthew 28:19 is a tool of the enemy. I think
well, you certainly put it to use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you quit being baptized in Jesus' name, you start being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That makes more sense to the natural mind. It don't make any sense to the scriptures, but it makes sense to men.
It's got a nice ring to it. Nice ring to it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. The enemy cooperates with our wanting to go along and be successful wherever we are or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a little prayer along that line.
Okay.
So, Lord, we've kind of started a little introduction here, but I just pray, Lord, that you strengthen us. Give us strength, Lord. Give all those that hear and know this truth about your Son, Lord, and that you would make us to stand, Lord,
yes,
and not falter, that you have put a foundation and you're going to keep building that foundation so that we can stand on it, Lord, and not be pushed back by the enemy.
Yes.
So, Lord, just grant strength, grant mercy, grant grace, and just grant more of your truth, Lord, to just continue to build on this foundation and these truths, Lord. Just do that for all that agree and are one heart with us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, as you were praying here, Ken, it occurred to me that the enemy has largely accomplished his purposes if he can keep it all kind of confined to this room or whatever, you know, he is. We're not causing any great amount of harm to his kingdom.
Although I'm going to go to there's a setting of scripture and it says that when you receive the mysteries that weren't revealed, that you what does it say that as it. It says that then you proclaim it to the principalities and powers.
Okay, maybe there is an extent to which there is a spiritual work.
So I think, spiritually, I think there's an effect going on.
Yeah.
But you're right exactly about that. But I'm feeling this thing, and when Keith called me and said, you know, I open a door and no man shall shut it. I mean, that registered.
Yeah.
That when you have his truth, especially the humanity, it's not going to get shut. Now, we haven't walked out that door yet, probably, but that's coming. That's coming.
Sure.
And when it says here,
wish I could find that where I was mentioning.
I know your works. you have a little strength, you've kept my word, and have not denied my name. And that we haven't done.
No.
It's a little.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes a strange statement in verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not. Which say they are Christians, but are not. But do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try the world. Mm-hmm. You know, and I saw an end of the dream. So help me, I see it. All I got to do is close my eyes and I see it. I saw what I see what I saw. It doesn't make sense to say it that way, but I see what I saw in the dream. And people were covered over and like a big cloud covered up. And then as I watched it, and this is right after the sound of the trumpet. It could have still been sounding, I don't know. And I watched, and then they were raised right up off the earth as a cloud. I saw that in a dream. Is that going to come to pass? I don't know. It could.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in some sense, it could too. You know?
Yeah.
If we are in heavenly places, somehow in the spirit or whatever, totally aside from our natural body.
And that is the thing right there that has disturbed me. If we are in heavenly places, if we are in the place to you know, somebody's going to do it. If he's going to do it, somebody's going to do it. And I would like it would be us. You know? So these things says, he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. We know who that is. It's Jesus Christ that does these things.
I don't know why, I just picked up on this one little verse, and for some reason, it just sounded good and meant more when I heard it. And it's in Ephesians. I'm going to start, though, a couple of verses ahead. I don't know why it's saying he, but I think he means Jesus. This is in Ephesians 2:17. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and in those, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And then it was this verse. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Mm.
And that just registered.
Mm-hmm. A dwelling place for God
in
the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
Ah.
And we know God's Spirit, but we know when it emphasizes that, you know.
Yeah, right.
Spirits, everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I love the idea of being a dwelling place for God.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
Place that he wants to go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Dwelling. Place he feels comfortable. Feels.
There's a lot of people that don't, tell me.
No.
They don't feel comfortable with that. I do and you do.
Yeah.
And God has caused us to feel it. But there's a lot of people that don't. You know, there's a scripture in the Psalms 1, it says, blessed is a man whose delight is in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Well, if his delight is in it, what did he do then? Your preacher misquote a chapter or a verse or two once a week. What did he do?
Yeah, that's right.
Does he meditate on it day and night?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Sure.
Because his delight is in the Word of God.
You know, I just went back and reviewed a little again. It's interesting. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
Mm.
You know?
Seems to be kind of emphasizing.
Yeah.
That. It's funny. I don't know that I have the full handle on that, but. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess what it's saying is all of us, by the same Spirit, have access to the Father.
Okay. That makes sense.
And just all of a sudden, that's what came.
Yes. It is the.
Yeah.
He does talk about one,
I
guess in 1 Corinthians.
And I don't know why the last couple weeks it's just been that the Spirit has just been like in my mind. I mean, it's like the Spirit is like, it's so in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's not the preaching of men or whatever. It's the Spirit is everywhere in everything, working, moving, filling, dwelling, you know?
You have, what, like an awareness of that, you're saying?
Well, yeah, it just seemed like all of a sudden, I mean, you know, I would kind of, in general, yeah, we want the Holy Spirit to move with us. You know, we just kind of talk about it in general.
Sure.
You know what? It's the most integral thing of this word. I mean, you don't get truth without it. You don't get the spiritual part of the word without it. You don't get anything without it. And so now to say Spirit means so much more. You know, it's not just we had fun in the Spirit or whatever. It's, you know, it used to be that kind of a thing where it was, you know, good feelings and all that. It's so much more now. It's like, and why wouldn't it be? Because God is Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So then you connect that to that. So all this, it's God coming to you, showing you everywhere His Spirit is moving and working. And, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you start paying attention to how many times you read Spirit, the words, you know, I mean, just in the word part, it's everywhere.
Boy, that sounds good, Ken. I that hasn't happened to me, but I
think if you
I have a hunger for it.
Well, I think if you just sit and meditate on it, dwell on it, you'll see that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be. You wouldn't be anything you are right now. You wouldn't be getting what you're getting right now. You know?
It is true that. It is not a minute by minute thing for me, though.
Well, it's not me either. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean I was totally engulfed. I just meant that it's like it took me beyond. It's no men in here teaching. It's the Spirit teaching.
Okay.
Even when it's Paul, or it's the Spirit teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you don't get hung up on a man, because not one man has it all. Even Paul didn't have it all.
Yeah.
Or there wouldn't be all these other parts of the Bible. You know?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned our prior experiences, and which that is true. It was superficial, and yet, if I hadn't had those glorious times in the Lord that were fun or something,
I don't regret any of that one bit.
I think there's a lot that we talk about that I wouldn't have any, I wouldn't equate with, I wouldn't say, oh, yeah, it's part and parcel of what we're receiving now. Now it's much more what we're getting now, I think. But that was kind of a foundation or soil or something for the seed to be growing in.
Yeah, there might have been, you know, I can think, I'm sure there was some humanly emotion, whatever. But I know without a doubt, I experienced the Spirit of the Lord on me and in me and moving, you know.
Yeah, right.
In us, not just me. And
life doesn't have anything that would be equivalent.
No, and I thought about it. There's no better high than the Holy Spirit moving on you.
I used to say in jail, it's way, way, way better than whatever's in second place.
Yeah, for sure. Now it's been a long time since I've experienced some of that part, but at the same time, I've experienced things deeper than that in a sense. Because there's truth with it.
Yes.
It's not just a feeling or whatever.
Yes.
There's substance.
Yeah. There is. It is so glorious when we get together and His Word is illuminated.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I know.
And I don't know that it'll be the same as. But I know something's coming that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Good and greater than ever before.
Yeah.
It has to be. When you're given all, it has to be, because you didn't have any of this before. You know?
I mean, what is that scripture, Keith, about, is it in Isaiah, where he brings forth and won't deliver, you know?
Well, that's the 66th chapter.
I mean, he wouldn't, a woman doesn't get pregnant and about right, you know, then that'd have to be wind. You know, it's, you have a baby, you have a thing, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all preparation for a reason.
Yeah, is it something to bring a woman to labor and not allow her something? Yeah. It's
so yeah.
Yeah. Would he do that? Of course he wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't do that.
Would he bring to the birth and not try to take a fourth?
Right.
See, we're not talking about Christ.
No.
We're not talking about the birth of Christ. We're talking about the birth of a real
church.
A thing? Yeah.
A real church, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. Or the body of Christ, if he wants. Well, no, I'd say church more than anything, I think.
Or understanding or whatever.
I don't know. It could be all kinds of things, actually.
Yes, it could.
Where does Joel chapter 2 fit in? Is that in there somewhere or not?
I am so puzzled by that book of Joel there.
Yeah.
You know, before them is the Garden of Eden, behind them is the desolate wilderness.
Yeah, and the Lord uttered his voice before his army.
Yeah. But I like it. Yeah. I'm puzzled by it, but I like it.
They don't hurt one another.
Yeah, right.
They can fall on a sword or they rise up healed.
Whatever, yeah, they jump through windows.
You know.
over the walls, around the wall.
Right.
Is that in there? Is that, I know there's some.
Something like that.
There might be another place, too. I remember reading, hearing that, that they would leap and run on the walls or something, and it was like, yeah, it just made a good picture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's not what you're actually going to do, but it's a good
whatever. Right.
Yeah.
I probably won't do it, but I don't totally will not either.
I guess, you never know.
But I love the disruption of it.
Mm.
That, you know, how it just messes up whatever agenda or what plan or whatever the deal is. I love the way it just messes up.
You know, what still puzzles me is the two witnesses.
Those two. Oh,
yeah. I mean, they create havoc.
Yeah, sure.
It's
sure.
But it's like just two persons. It just doesn't. But it could. I mean, you know, it just seems odd.
Well, the whole book is so metaphorical that it.
Yeah.
It may not be two individuals. It may be two.
I mean, you know, I don't know why, but what, and I can't say this is of the spirit or what, but what came to mind to me was the born-again Israel Jews and the born-again Gentiles, both witnessing to the world.
Yeah. Could be.
But... You know, that's as far-fetched as what it says.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, and there seems to be something very, very singular about those two things. That you know, it is almost, hey, no, we're talking about one person, or one, you know.
Yeah, two.
But, you know, if there is such great, mighty unity, then we can be as one, you know.
Because they cause not to rain, they cause all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's up, and the Lord, and it's like God said, and it's up to you. You can call whatever you want, when, you know, but you know, you have to have very good discernment and be in His will, I'm sure,
yeah.
more or less. And then they are killed, and they lay in the streets. And then, when everyone's celebrating, He lifts them up, He resurrects them right in front of their eyes, and off they go. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
You know, it's there's so many different little phases now that you're aware of. You know, in the 1,000 years of rain on the earth, it's 1,000 years on the earth.
That's good.
Yeah. When does that happen? You know.
Yeah.
It's not at the end, because when you read it in it's
no, it's not at the end.
No,
that's the end. Then.
Yeah. No,
the end is after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sit on the thrones and reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
Yeah. I guess we rule and reign with Him here, don't we?
Yeah. So, it's evidently it's on earth, you know.
Yeah, it seems to be. Glorified earth.
I couldn't find Joel. Because my page had doubled over on me.
It's not a very long book.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord comes. It is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and the thick darkness, as a morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There had not ever been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, behind them a flame burns. Mm. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours a stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their faces, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall walk. They shall march everyone in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in the path, his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in all the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great. Is that the end of it?
No.
Don't I know.
One little bit left.
Oh, come on.
For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?
And who can abide it?
Yeah. Lord is great and very terrible. That is some passage of scripture there, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It ain't something you want to read at 2 o'clock in the morning.
He's describing a very unusual thing.
You know, I went over because I had some other scriptures underlined on the next page from there. And we always read, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and daughters. Well, read 27. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. We should read that every time we read this other.
It is such a theme in the Old Testament. It's such a theme.
Yeah.
That there's one God. I mean,
it's everywhere.
I don't know.
And it's him saying it.
Yeah. You could accuse him of overdoing it, except apparently he didn't, because they came up with a Trinity.
Yeah.
But come on, I get it. You know, well.
And you know what? Yeah. At the end of that, I will pour out what? My spirit in those days, not God the Spirit, third person, my spirit. And that's God speaking, my spirit.
I don't have a revelation of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's funny because I know the Holy Spirit, you know. I know him real well. But I know what it isn't, you know. Third member of the Godhead. But there is, in some respect, there is something distinct or different, you know. But then I don't have a good, you know, because he obviously is just solely God, too. You know, I mean, that is God.
Right.
But it's God with some individual features. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're God and you created everything and your spirit's everywhere, you can do whatever with your spirit. I mean, that's how he conveys everything is through his spirit.
Yeah, right.
By spirit.
Spirit. I get a kick out of a footnote in this Bible here where it says, you know, God is spirit. Or a spirit. And you're saying, they're not talking about the third member of the Trinity. They're talking about how he's a spirit, not the fact that he's the third member of the Trinity.
Is that in your...
In the note in the Geneva Bible. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It probably says that in some of the notes in the...
Now, what, you know, if you hold for the Trinity, that verse is a problem.
Yeah.
God is spirit.
Right.
Okay, but what do you explain? You got a little explaining, you know.
I tell you, and it's good for us to understand something. And that was a thing that was not easily remembered or understood. And that is, there are flaws in the spirit or in the letter. There are weaknesses in the letter. And if you insist on going exactly by the letter, you're going to have a problem. So what you got to do is you're looking for the spirit. Just like we located the nature or the humanity of Christ by listening and listening and listening to the scriptures, not by any one verse in particular. Although this Luke 24:39 is a dandy, and that's what Rodney and Joanna said, and that's what Jefferson and Carol said, and that's what most of the girls said when they read it. That is a dandy. You know, does a spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have? That is a good one. And where was that all these years that I didn't see it?
One of my favorites still is Timothy. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That is a dandy.
Yeah. And then, the part that precedes it, and it's the will of God's will that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that what it says? Mm-hmm.
At some point.
And then he gives you the truth.
Yeah. Which means the word for in there is a kind of a, it means that is or which is. Or,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what it means.
Uh-huh.
For there's one God. I like, not that I like any particular ones, but in the 17th chapter in the 3rd verse, I tell you what, that has really struck a note somewhere inside of me. It says that they would know you, the only true God. Does that kind of separate?
Yeah, I mean, we just named 3 things, verses, just that if you just repeated those 3 every time.
Yeah.
You know?
The only true God. The only true God. You know, the only true God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that revelation came, that word, that letter was not in there one night, I had a glory time in the middle of the night. When I realized that it didn't say that God is a spirit, I had a glory time. I had an experience with that whole thing, and I all of a sudden God became overwhelming.
Yeah,
overpowering.
Yeah,
there's no limitations, you know. And that's what I saw, and it's not that I see that all the time. At that point, I did. I just overwhelmingly think.
I was looking up in this 8 translation thing, that word for, you know. And it's always in It says four in a bunch, nearly all the translations.
Yeah,
the conjunction there between.
When Corky looked, didn't he say there was like 20 of them that was all exactly the same?
Four, yeah. Okay.
Well, the whole word study, it's the same.
Okay. I'm interested in the relationship between verses 4 and 5, you know? What that, you know? Because 4 is a little. It means there's a connection between the two, but.
But it's funny. They can take some verse settings or settings, scripture settings, and they can make it work or sound like it's Trinity. Yeah. But there are some, it just seems like there's some they can't do it to them.
Yeah.
No matter what they do or they say. And I like that. I'm glad to hear that. You know, that God has kept it solid for a reason, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, I knew yesterday morning that God has set before us an open door. And nobody can shut it. And how long is it going to be open, I don't know. But if nobody can shut it, maybe it's in our lifetime it can't be shut. And I want to talk to the boys and girls on Friday night so bad. And one of these days, we're going to get a chance. One that we're going to make it or break it. One of these days.
And maybe there is some value in keeping quiet while a bunch of thousands and thousands of kind of empty words, spiritual enough, but, you know, get spoken. maybe there is a...
Well, everything in the scriptures point toward Jesus Christ as a man. I was reading some scriptures to Shannon this afternoon or this evening. Oh, I know where it was. It was in the next chapter, the fifth chapter of Revelation.
You know, I like a lot of parts of Revelation.
You know,
I do.
Well, stays for Revelation, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I just it there's so many little nuggets. It's kind of, well, for what, there's a lot of them that show the humanity, you know, for one.
Well, I'll confess, it wouldn't be the first place I turned, but.
But. I think it's in chapter 5. Wait a minute. I'm in chapter 8. I can't get them separated. And these pages refuse to separate.
It's like me trying to open them. You're gonna big bags at Woodman's to put vegetables in.
I think it's a terrible time.
Especially now when you have a mask on, you can't like lift your fingers.
Yeah, you know, well, I stick my finger.
Yeah, well, I did find it the other day. But.
Yeah.
It's in the fifth chapter of this. It's actually in the sixth chapter. No, it's not. It's got to be in the fifth chapter, which I can't find. I don't have one.
My Bible's got a fifth chapter.
Yeah, mine too. Did you get a discount deal on that one?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, it's in the fifth chapter. In verses in chapter 5, verse 3.
Okay. You're having a heck of a time there. Okay. We're finally there.
And no man in heaven.
Mine says one. No one in heaven, but that's the New King James.
Oh.
Either way.
Nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much, verse 4, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. What does yours say?
That's, you know, it's interesting. Here, this is the New King James, and it, instead of saying man, it says no one, but it says open the scroll, which makes kind of more sense in a way.
I guess, yeah, since it would have been a scroll.
Yeah.
Time, but,
yeah.
I'm a little bothered by the idea of changing man to one, unless maybe the original Greek, you know. But, hey, if it's a man, you better say man rather than...
Well, it's kind of implying maybe they got the thing that, whether it be man, angel, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, and that,
no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, were you going to keep reading?
Go ahead.
No, you read, because you're reading out of the King James, so.
I'll read it out of yours.
But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Did you want to read more than that?
No. Go ahead.
No, I mean, did you read farther than that?
No.
Before?
In here it said, and no man in heaven nor in earth was found worthy to do it. No man in heaven. And I thought, there's still a man in heaven, isn't he?
Yeah, there's one.
And Christ, we got these dumb translations to play with.
Well, see, that kind of makes a little contradiction to the humanity, then.
it's getting across, I think, it'd be no ordinary man, I don't know. It does go on to say, Lion of the tribe of Judah.
The Root of David, which pretty...
Root of David, that narrows it down. Lamb. So, Lamb that was slain... So it's
just nobody else, no man or anybody else was worthy to open.
Yeah, right. Every single translation here in the same translation thing says no one. Okay. So maybe, there's no individual or, angel or anything else.
No. Here's an... Okay, so... Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne, which is God, who does not have a right hand. But... Taking the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp. So, we're not going to get an answer to this, I don't think. Who are the 24 elders? Whoever got that was special enough to be one of the 24 elders,
I guess.
Let's see. In the book of you had Job in that one in there
forget the book. In
the book of Job.
Job, okay. What chapter?
Chapter 1, verse 6.
1:6? Okay.
What does it say in the... No, it's
The Geneva Bible.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Now, on a day when the children of God came and stood before the Lord, Satan came also among them.
Okay, it says in here, in the sons of God. What does it say in the New King James?
I didn't go there. I always had a hard time finding it. Job in with the prophets, right?
It's way back. It's just in front of...
Or is it way before all Daniel and all of them? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's before Psalms.
It's right next to Esther.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Because I haven't been going there as much to read about it where I know Quirky knows. Okay, Job.
1:6.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them.
Okay, that's what it says in the King James. It says the same thing in the New King James. What did it say in the...
Children of God.
The children of God.
Yeah. But they got their helpful footnotes in here. Meaning the angels. Which maybe that's what it means, maybe it isn't. But anyway, you'd think if he meant angels, he would have said angels.
Well, we know from the rest of the story that he's talking about the men of, or the people on earth. He says, because you have you considered my servant Job. So we know that he was looking.
Sure.
Among the people to find weaknesses in them.
It is a puzzling thing, though. On the day when the sons of God came and stood before the Lord, that Satan came too.
Yeah,
that's an odd verse.
And that verse in Revelation 5. Where in the King James it says there was no man found worthy or whatever. You know, that makes more sense than anything else. There were no angel found worthy? No, not the angel. There was no man.
Yeah.
What? Because there were already men in heaven. But there was not any of them found worthy to open the seals.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we have the man of the tribe of Judah. You know, he's worthy. And so the word man, even if it's not in there, they took the liberty of putting it in the King James. But no matter what, it shows the humanity aspect of what's going to take place in heaven.
Yes, it does.
When Elijah and Moses were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Mm-hmm. They must have appeared as men.
There was glory upon them, but yes.
Yeah, well, they recognized them, so.
Yeah.
Right.
That's another thing. How did they recognize them when they weren't a different generation? But
they were provided that knowledge
yeah.
of the Spirit.
Well, right. You know. Yeah, I mean, I believe that's it.
Yeah.
You have discernment.
Yeah.
Well, and Jesus, when Jesus said, does a spirit have flesh and bones? That has given me an understanding of something that I never had. He was resurrected. The old body was resurrected. When we get baptized in Jesus' name and we follow him in baptism, we rise in the newness of life. That's a representation of the flesh
uh-huh.
being buried, you know. And so it's all humanity.
I do believe that scripture puts the lie to the line about him being fully God and fully man.
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Does the spirit have flesh and bones?
Well, they
said. There's no such thing as a God that is fully God, fully man.
But didn't Jesus say God is spirit?
Yeah.
Why didn't he say, I'm spirit, but not as you think, or something?
Right.
Why did he say it? Does the spirit have flesh and bones?
Yeah.
And if he was a God, he'd be a spirit.
Yeah, I think it speaks directly to that question.
Yeah.
At least I see it now. You know, I'm sure Trinitarian take a different slant, you know. But you need to be taught by the Holy Spirit. It's as easy as that.
Yeah.
There's too many other things that you can do with the Bible.
In all these translations, the variety that we have made it just almost impossible to see him as a man. Because they have changed the words just enough in translation after translation after. We're fortunate to see the thing in Timothy because they kind of kept it intact, but some of the other areas are really screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that they define anybody that doesn't accept the Trinity as being a heretic.
A heretic, yeah.
You know. So, who wants to be a heretic?
I do.
Okay. And there are some pretty cuckoo outfits, you know.
Yeah.
Jehovah's Witnesses. Or it's all right. Hey. That's what... If we're called to be in disreputable company in a sort of sense, then hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to be a heretic, do you, Jack?
Heretic? I think with here.
I think Chuck's okay with it.
A heretic.
A heretic?
A hairy tick.
A tick with hair. Can you imagine that?
I think you're avoiding the problem, Chuck.
And the tape's on.
Right.
And the tape's on. Ooh, so bad, so bad.
Well.
It's just so good, though. It's all so good. So appreciate the Lord doing this.
Well, when I started to see some of the people as they have fallen away from the baptism in Jesus' name, and they changed their doctrine with no scripture, no scripture to prove or to change the doctrine into it. It threw me for a loop. I just saw it. I really saw it this morning. I couldn't sleep because I thought of some of the people. All of a sudden they just ignore Acts 2:38. They just ignore it. Well, that doesn't apply today.
Well, this is a little harsh, but Jesus talks about the hirelings, you know.
Yeah.
And that might be a good thing to call them.
Well, it has to do with the parable of the sower too.
Yeah, that's right too. Although, you know, at one time there was good soil.
Well, it says some of it grows, and it's in the rock or whatever, yeah. But then either the cares of the world or whatever.
And it can, yeah.
And it takes it away. Yeah. So they had truth for a time.
Yeah.
And then but it's not deep enough roots. And see, a lot of that, a little bit of that confusion probably is because of the way that the oneness was trying to present something that wasn't really true either.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know.
Right.
What they're doing, the Trinitarian, the Trinity doctrine is so demonic and has so much power behind it. That it persuades people. It forces people to believe something that's a lie. You know, it's like God said, because they received not enough of the truth that they might be saved, He sent them strong delusion. Well, the Trinity doctrine is a strong, strong delusion. There's not anything in the Scripture that supports it. So that's why Tertullian had a right thing when he said, "You can't. If you try to prove the Trinity from the Scriptures, you go mad. But if you don't believe in the Trinity, you go to hell." See, that's a nonsense statement. There's not anything about it that makes any sense. And if you can't prove the Trinity from the Scriptures, then change your doctrine. Because the Scriptures are our only support that we have. And if you listen to the Scriptures and listen to all of the Scriptures, like we have been, from one end to the other, you come up with Jesus being a man. No wonder it says in Timothy that the man Christ Jesus. And he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Or does it say that? He says it in the King James, or does it say something else?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find that. The Son of Man. Somewhere. Let's see if it says it in the other translations.
Lee Corky's smartphone.
You know, I think I had an app like that, but I've never gotten really good at using it.
In one of the Gospels,
can't find the app.
know, the word only begotten Son is not in the footnotes. Because that would change too much of their picture, and they don't want that.
Abbreviation JK, is that, what is that, John? No. Or is it Luke 18:8, maybe?
Luke 18:8. I tell you, he will avenge them quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?
Does it say the same thing?
Who needs Corky?
Actually, yeah, the first one they show here is the New International Version, and it says the first part different, but it says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? New Living Translation. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? English Standard. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Berean. Will he find faith on earth? Son of Man.
But it's the Son of Man.
Yeah. Son of Man in the Berean literal. They're all saying the same thing. It says for the New King James, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith?
Well, I suppose that's okay, right?
Well, this one says it in contemporary English version, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find on this earth anyone with faith?
I suppose that's
still
a little different way of
it's still the same.
Express the same idea, though.
Yeah, Good News says it the same.
Do either one of you have the Kenneth Wiest for the Rotherham?
I think we do at home, yeah.
I did it one time. I don't know if I got rid of it.
I think I still got it.
But those are two different Bibles. The Kenneth Wiest that I had was a paperback. I had the Rotherham was in the other thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the Rotherham. Just the Wiest.
Yeah, I might have had the Wiest. Because that was kind of what we were going by for a while, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Under the man.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing to have around.
Maybe I should bring that around. Isn't that the one that uses all the Greek translation?
I think if there were like three different definitions for a word in the Greek, they put in all three of those things. So it'd be comprehensive and you kind of got to take your pick. But
then too, weren't we for a while, he was using something from Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, the interlinear. And I've got one of those interlinears.
Oh.
So what it does is it gives the Greek. And then right above the Greek word, it would be whatever the English word is. And I have thought that...
I had one of them for a while, too.
Yeah. I haven't opened it in a long time, but I got it.
I'm wondering...
It might be potentially useful.
Yeah, it's possible. When I started listening to just the Bible, I said, I don't need any of these. And I might have gotten rid of them.
The way we, the attention we, and I don't know if we are just right on the button, you know, with our dissecting the words, although it leads naturally on, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know. I feel just a little bit squirmy about having, well, what we need around here is a Greek scholar.
I know. I don't really want that.
No, on the other hand, kind of convenient that way.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you battle the dilemma we have. And what we have is you got all these translations. And you got the King James kind of leans one way, and you got the New King James leans a little bit different, you got all these, they lean different directions. And so you tell people, well, Jesus is a man. And it's like according to what, which translation?
Yeah, but you know what we found, though, is there's way more in any of the translations that, I mean, if you just took any translation and that's the one you listen to, it would still come through. Because they, like you said, they can't cancel out everything because there's too many things that it's a thread and it just links from one to, you know, here a little there. You know, I mean, it's
I believe that if a person is of the truth, as Jesus said, then it will be illuminated by the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of the translation.
And that's the other thing, like Keith, you were like, you know, it's like, how can they not see, how can they change? You know what? Because they weren't taught by the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
You know? Or haven't been taught yet by the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather probably put it that way because we don't know who will or will not receive, you know.
That's right. But they're entitled to the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, but what does Paul say? And is it Romans where he says, how will they learn unless they've been taught? You know.
Yeah.
How beautiful are the feet of, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
It's what they do after that that's going to really be their judgment. You know, right now you can't necessarily judge people because there's ignorance and everything else. You know.
Yeah, right.
And they haven't been presented anything that would lead them to the truth, you know.
Uh-huh.
But once that goes forth, then accountability starts coming in.
Yeah.
You look a little tired, Keith.
Yeah. I didn't sleep much last night.
We can wind it up and let you get to bed.
It's not going to look like he slept much either.
I think he's been pretty wide awake here today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Turn it off. So.
Okay, well.
We'll close things here. Mm-hmm.